Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of sparking revival. Committed to spreading the gospel, this is your Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. Before we dive into today's episode, if you haven't already, please take a moment and subscribe or follow us and give us a like. This ensures you won't miss out on any of our future episodes, and of course it increases our visibility. And we want to thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Now, without further ado, joining us today is Dr. Joy Pugh. Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh has authored many books, and this whole Beguiled series, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666 and the Antichrist, The Clone Image of Jesus Christ, are all eschatology and theological bestsellers. She and her research are featured on the History Channel and international radio shows, including Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Joy, a recording artist, has an album, Before Time Stops. She is a recipient of Who's Who in the World and a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution, known as DAR. Amen. So, Dr. Joy, I want to welcome you to the show.
Oh, listen, thank you so much for having me as your guest today. I'm looking so forward to the discussion about all this research that I've been doing a very, very long time.
Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to have you on here. Her and I were talking before the show started, and I'm telling you guys, you do not want to miss this episode. So, Dr. Joy, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the floor over to you and just, first of all, share with us kind of how all this started. Just give us an understanding of your story for our listeners.
Well, real quickly, when I was a little girl, actually the week that I was born, my grandparents took me to church. So I have been a part of church since the first week I was born, long time. Amen. And I joined the church when I was 11 years of age, gave my, you know, life to Jesus and that kind of thing, and really began to grow in the spiritual walk that I think that the Lord had set for me. But what happened, the first thing that really made me aware that there was something unusual that God had called me to do is that before I was born, my father had a dream of what I would look like, and that was, I'm old, so that was before they knew whether a woman was pregnant with a, you know, male or a female.
Wow.
But he, in that dream, knew that I was going to be a girl and that my name was to be Joy. And it's interesting, if you notice the spelling, it's spelled J-O-Y-E. So that was unusual, you know. So when I, of course, he told my mother, my grandmother, and that kind of thing, and my grandfather, that what I would look like, and that I would be a girl, and that my name was going to be Joy, J-O-Y-E, which was a very unusual spell. And so when my mother delivered me back in the day before men were allowed in there while the woman was having delivery, like they do now, when he walked in and Mother was holding me, he looked down. He said, "That's my joy." And they knew it because he had totally described what I would look like. And interesting enough, the reason I used Joy Jeffries is that was my original name. He did not give me a middle name because of that. He called me Joy. So I use the Dr. Joy when people refer to me because I feel like there was something very significant about it. I mean, the fact that he could have even thought what I would look like would have been impossible. And at the same time, to have had such an unusual name, and I'm always saying it's Joy with an E because a lot of people will try to say Joey or they'll try to say Joyce, but it's actually Joy. And so that was unusual. But the fact is that my grandparents took me to church the first week that I was born for the, I think the purpose was that they knew that there was something maybe unusual about all of this. And so when I was 6 years old, I had this amazing dream. My cat has decided to join us. Say hello. Anyway.
Amen.
Yeah, she tries to get on camera. She's a camera hog. But anyway, I love her. She's, in fact, going through chemo, just so keep her in your prayers. Amen. Anyway, the fact that I had this dream when I was 6 years old, I went to sleep just like a normal little six-year-old kid on the South Georgia farm. We had like one station that you watch TV on, and so the most of the things that I saw as a young little girl might have been the Disney Channel or Wild Kingdom or something like that, but never anything weird or strange or unusual. And so I was brought up in the Southern Baptist religion and went to just a little country church right down from where I was at. But that night when I fell asleep, it was almost like I was in a vision. It wasn't really like I was asleep, but that is when I really believed that I saw Jesus and that I saw something that was going to remind me of the end of days. And I was very, very scared because I always thought I was the last person left on earth, which was kind of weird for a six-year-old to even be thinking that, and how everything looked. And when I approached him, that was behind a piece of broke-off-looking building, and that was the only thing that was left standing, he assured me that I was not alone, would always be with me, even until the end of these days. And so I really felt like I really saw what he looked like, and I really knew him, even though I'd never really seen a picture of him. I really believed that was him. Amen. And so, like I said, right then I went down and woke up my grandmother, and I told her I needed to go to the church because I felt like something was really weird about the dream, and I thought that something was major bad was going to happen in the world. So she assured me that it was just a dream, and of course it was not. I continued to build on that. I started doing my own research. By the time I was 13 years old, I was already so engrossed into the book of Revelation. And then I was downtown, and my mother was in the Rexall drugstore, and I saw the first book that I had ever seen about the end of days that really explained what I thought I had seen. And it was a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. And so I begged her to buy that book for me, and she was like very confused because a 13-year-old wants to read this. And I went home, and I mean, for the first time in my entire life, when I was reading that, it was like, oh my gosh, this is what this is all about. So throughout my lifetime, I always had this as the thing that was most in my mind. It wouldn't matter if I was studying something else in school. I always had this desire because I felt like I was going to see the end of days in my lifetime, and I wanted to be able to know everything about it, Antichrist, how that was going to come to power, what it would be like as far as what was going on, and that literally there would be a destruction, just like we know what the book of Revelation says. And so it was, of course, I didn't know that Jesus had said, you know, I will be with you till the end of days, and I'm with you always. And what he actually said to me was a scripture that I later found, you know, where it says that I am with you always. And I was like, wow, I remembered it. And I was like, this is more than what it just seemed to be as far as a dream was concerned, because it set me on this course that I have done now for 68 and a half years of my life. Amen. I mean, this has been a calling that I cannot describe, because I was like, how do I do this? Because in the Southern Baptist religion, a woman was not a preacher. You could be a teacher, you could be a musician, you could be with that, but you couldn't be in the pulpit. And so I'm thinking, well, Lord, how are you going to use this and whatever? And now, you know, we have the World Wide Web, and, you know, the people that I touch and I feel like are my congregation are all over the world, mm-hmm. which is amazing. I mean, he gave me a platform to talk about all that he has taught me for all this number of years, going through my, you know, my undergraduate work, getting into my master's level work, getting into my doctorate levels work. Every time, T.S., when I would have something like a paper I had to write, and I was studying education and counseling and guidance and understanding the body and how the mind works and all these things, but I didn't realize that all the things that I was studying, all the fields of study, and there was different levels of different things that I studied, it was to help me greatly understand what I would one day do. And that's to explain all of this to people who are looking to understand how is this all lining up for us as a generation that will more than likely see the end of days. And so I really never dreamed growing up how I would ever be able to do that. But he would keep giving me more and more and more information. The more I would read, the more I would get, the more answers to the questions that I would have. I mean, I would just go after my Sunday school teachers, and they'd be like, to my mother and grandmother, they go, where in the world did Joy come up with this? We don't know how to answer her. Where are these questions? I mean, you know, they would tell me, well, it's not time for us to know. And I would go, yes, it is time for us to know. And there is an answer to this, and I am going to find it if I have to go through every book that's out there that's ever been written to try to understand, because amen. I know that this is going to happen in my lifetime. And so amen. I was just engrossed with it. So finally, God gave me the chance to write my first book. And so, you know, I had gotten my doctorate degree. I had learned how to do a dissertation with major research. I had learned how to do everything as far as nonfiction work and be able to show, you know, with data and with sources to prove what Scripture was saying. And so I would use things in the scientific world, in the Christian world, whatever I could bring in to prove that Scripture had told us the truth all along. And so I show you that the Bible has always been correct, and that science has caught up enough to prove it for the doubters. Because it's easy sometimes for us to doubt things, but then if we can have the science behind it and the history behind it and the Scripture behind it, it's hard to find a way to avoid the issue that there really is a God, and Jesus was really here, and he did die, and he did raise himself again, and that he is coming back, and that what Scripture is telling us in the book of Revelation, especially, that these things are going to start happening all over the world. Well, I'm old enough to have seen all this, how it used to be, and then to gradually, all these years, been documenting how are these things changing? How are the earthquakes doing? How have they changed the earthquake, you know, ability to determine levels? Because they didn't want us to panic. They changed our categories for even our hurricanes. There's been things that have been done to water down how serious this is getting. Yep. But I've been in this long enough that now everything, I can see the red flags. Because you know that what Scripture has said, that these end of days are going to be like a woman in travail. Yep. And I can't think of a better way to carry that through history to explain how a woman gets pregnant, and then for 9 months, she may have a little bit of a problem, may not feel good. But as she gets closer to that delivery date, things are just bam, bam, bam. I mean, and there's terrible, terrible, terrible until that child is born. Yep. And clearly, T.S., in my lifetime, from just the weather changes where I have lived here all of my life, just the weather changes tell me something is major happening. And then when you add the plagues and the pestilences and all the other things that we know Scripture is telling us about, by golly, you can look at the historical fact and say, these things have increased.
Yes.
And it's not conspiracy. And you know, when I first started this a long time ago, it was like, oh, conspiracy theory, whatever. Well, now you can't say that because we have the science to prove what the Scriptures were telling us. And yes, they want to say, oh, it's just global warming, or oh, right. It's just this. And I'm like, read what God left for us to know about all of this. And most times, Christians themselves don't sit down and read God's Word. Because if they did, they would see that our headlines are like opening up your Bible and reading it.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen. You know, I will say this, and Pastor Bob, who used to be the one that was the host of this show, and myself, him and I have done like 75 episodes together on this show. And we've talked about these type of topics over and over and over. And we always somehow get to, at least some of the time, we have gotten to these, talking about these plagues, talking about the weather events, talking about the wars. You know, Matthew chapter 24 is loaded with end times information.
Yes.
To help us understand that those are all, they're just warning signs. And it is exactly what she said. It's like a woman who has not given birth yet, but she is pregnant.
Yes.
And so there's, you know, the if you go back and you study the Hebrew culture, and I have to throw this in here, the
yes.
Hebrew culture is one that celebrated a few things in their little villages, okay, back in the day. They always celebrated the betrothal period.
Yes.
And this has been compared to the betrothal period. They celebrated when a woman was going to have a child. It was a big deal in the community.
Yes.
When women were pregnant and were going to have children. It was a big deal. The wedding feast was a big deal.
Yes.
It was a huge community thing. And then their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, was a big deal. And all of these end time prophecies have been compared to these events in some way, form, or fashion. And so and they've been included in that. And to really look at the world and how it is,
yes,
and what is going on right now, you can see those correlations.
Yes.
What we don't have yet, and this is the big one, is that the whole world has not been witness to the gospel. But it's getting closer, and it's getting closer,
yes,
and it's getting closer. And I think that is such an important aspect of all this,
yes,
that we have to pay attention to. And I do believe, and I've said this, that some point in the 2030s, this is going to happen. Because there are actually,
yes,
groups out there that are pushing and pushing for this. And they are expanding their ministries and their missions to get into these people groups that have not been reached. And
that's
there
right.
are more people groups that are being reached. And so there are less people groups to reach now that are
that's
not.
Right.
Remember this. It is, He is the Lamb who purchased His blood for God, for every tongue, tribe, and nation. That is in the book of Revelation.
Yes, and it says, once the gospel is preached to the world, then it says the end shall come. It doesn't
yes.
say it might,
no.
it might be delayed. It says it shall come.
Amen.
And you know, these ministries, that they've got the little things that are about like this, and they have a battery that's charged off of sunlight. And they have got the Bible written in the languages that those people, like, let's say, way out in areas in Africa and places like that, that are away from everything, that don't have electricity. Now these little translation Bibles that they have run off of the sun's energy. So,
yep.
and it's actually in their languages. So, yes, we are to the point where the gospel is almost been to every nation. And
Amen.
Like I say, it specifically says in Scripture, I mean, people say, well, you don't know the day or time. And I'm like, you know the season, and it's told you that when that is done in this world, that at that point in time, the end shall come.
Amen.
And we are, like you're saying, T.S., we are very close to that being a true thing that has happened. And, you know, and of course, networks like, you know, the Christian networks and stuff like that have been put on satellite and whatever, that has really reached a lot of people too. So we have
yep.
had a lot of things within our lifetime that nobody could have ever done. I mean, the World Wide Web, who would have ever thought that we could have had a gadget that would run off of sunlight and somebody's translation of their languages? I mean, we are really looking at a time that's just absolutely phenomenal.
So, Joy, let me ask you this question, and I'm gonna put this out there because, and
sure.
I'm gonna tell you guys on this that we're actually gonna have an episode, and I'm gonna bring her back on another time that we're gonna record for our Now Network. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna be very topic specific when we do that.
Yes.
But this is an introduction for you guys on her stuff, and I've looked through some of her stuff, and and I thought this would be very interesting with your background, Dr. Joy. Tell us a little bit about your book, your trilogy series that you wrote. Give us a little bit of insight into
the Beguiled Eden to Armageddon books are very detailed. All these books that I have done took years of research, so they were not like something that I just sat down and just wrote overnight and had it, you know, and sent it to my publisher. These were things that took a long time, a lot of research, and I actually touch on so many different topics because it's all related. It's like we have been taught over the years to separate out our different fields of study. So if somebody studied, let's say, biotechnology, and somebody studied how to work on a foot and whatever, and you've got all these different disciplines, and nobody is looking at the big picture, they're just looking at pieces of it. What I have done in that trilogy, and it took a trilogy for me to get it all in there. That's why it's a trilogy.
Oh, wow.
Because I started out going to write one book, and then it was like, oh my gosh, this is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And
we got J.R.R. Tolkien here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. When I first started, even the Eden, the Knowledge of Good and Evil 666, I ended up having, when I went back and redid that book, I had to put it in two volumes because it was just too much. And then when I went to the Beguiled series, oh my gosh, to be able to let you see all the pieces that go into this puzzle, you've got to have an understanding of a lot of different disciplines, everything from biotechnology to cloning to transhumanism. You've got to know about secret societies. You've got to know how things move from the Garden of Eden all through history to get us to this point that we are now. And it's a lot of information, but it's all crucial for you to get a real concept of how an Antichrist can come to power.
Yep.
How he comes to power, what connection he has to the world, and then how he's going to utilize things like not being able to buy, sell, or trade, and put us in a situation where if you don't have his mark, that you're not going to be able to get your money in cyberspace.
Yep.
So, you know, when I did that trilogy, a lot of people would go, how did you know about transhumanism? How did you know about cloning? Because I did all the research a long time ago and really understood that now when you see things about people having robots and they're going to be carrying babies within there, I mean, these were things I was always already talking about in some details back in 1999 when I actually did my first book. So, you know, it's just that where I had information, then as I did each book, more information became available, and then you just had an explosion, which I think of knowledge. I mean, that's exactly what has happened. Look at where we've come in the last 100 years. I mean, I have a aunt that's almost 103 years old, and what she saw in this lifetime, I mean, you just can't imagine what I've seen in my own lifetime, you know, supposedly walking on the moon and doing all this kind of stuff that we've been able to do, but the fact that we talk to anybody in real time around the world. So we're speaking into the future, and they're talking to the past. I mean, just weird kinds of things.
Crazy.
That who would have ever dreamed that we could have done things that we do. So all of these things are interesting, you know, to get the true nature of what's going on. You've got to understand our human body. You've got to understand DNA. You've got to understand frequency and vibration. You've got to understand what the people that God told his group to stay away from, why did he do that? Why did he not want us mingling with the pagans? You've got to get a great understanding as to why God set up everything like he did. Like you mentioned, the Hebrew feast I go through in that Beguiled series about the catching away. You know, a lot of people say, well, the rapture's not in the Bible, but catching away is. And the fact is, it's based on the Hebrew traditions of marriage, the bridegroom and the bride. And then you've got when, you know, they were sitting on the walls watching for the moon for the first time to show itself. And they would blow the trumpets and run to the temple. And if you didn't drop everything and run, I mean, we were talking about the 10 virgins, and five of them didn't have their, you know, oil in their lamps, and they couldn't see how to get there. And when the doors closed to that temple, you could not get in. So we're talking about those kinds of things, and we're utilizing what all of these different people and sciences and history have said about all this. So that's why that's a trilogy, because to get all of that in there, and I'm going to tell you, there is a lot of information. I take you from almost the beginning of Eden all the way to where we are right now in today's world to show you how the Antichrist can become who he is and step up and literally control us. And that's, you know, when I got all that done, and then God was like, now this is the next step. And I'm going to tell you the book, Beast Mark, End of Days. It's my last book. I'm going to tell you, I was blown away because it required a lot of studying on the medical sciences of our bodies. Wow. And what I have found out, I mean, I always knew that we are wonderfully and created in the image of God. But when you start getting down to the fact that we are tuning forks and we are vibrating and our DNA is talking to itself just like our you know, computers talk within their softwares and things, it takes you to another level to see how at the end of days, everything's being brought back to a Tower of Babel in which humanity is going to be like a beehive mind, because that's what happened at the Tower of Babel. They were all one mind, one accord, and that was a terrible abomination for God. And that's why he destroyed what he did. Now we can translate in real time using computers. You know, we can do whatever we need in real time, and we can communicate to anyone in the world. So if you go to the point of connecting everybody's brains up so they get to be a little Alexas, so you're going to become like a little God in this. And the promise is with the transhumanism that you can live forever as long as you breach what God created. And that is give up your true human body to become a transhuman. And listen, right now with Elon Musk putting his chips in, the people he has done that with are now 6 times smarter than the average bear.
Yep.
Okay, for us to keep up with technology, we have got to get to our minds at the ability of speed of thought.
Yep.
So if everybody can get to be like an Alexa, and you are all connected to the Starlink satellite systems, then you take humanity from where we are now to what they're calling the golden age.
Yep.
What they're calling the Great Reset of humanity, what they're calling the Fourth Industrial Revolution. All of those things are being done to take us back and make us all one mind, one accord. And we've always seen in the new, especially in the secret societies, they always did the pyramid. It's located on the back of our $1 bill with all seeing at the top. And if that's no different than the secret societies that I explain in my books about the beehive mind, because people don't understand that the queen bee runs the hive vibration. And so what she's doing is she's buzzing, she's making a buzzing noise, and it is telling her worker bees how to do what needs to be done. In other words, they don't have a mind of their own. They are being controlled by that to do the work. And that's a part of the New World Order. And that's what they want us to be, is to be connected. Because once you give up being human, that's why it says if you choose the mark, you're going to go into hell because you are no longer connected to the Creator.
Nope.
We all have our own vibrational frequency. We have our own song. And God is connected to us in that way. When we use CRISPR technology and we sever and we connect stuff to us to make us transhuman, then we give up what it is to be human. And we are so close to that because we already see now with the Genius Act that has been passed. We know that where blockchain and Bitcoin and all of that was taking us, and there was such concern that it may fail, now there's something called stablecoin that's like FDIC, where you don't, it's never going to fail. And Trump is really going to go that route for us to stay ahead of China and anyone else in the monetary world where the dollar was the standard. We've got to go to that level. So you can see us, we cannot not go to it to stay ahead of the ball game. But what it's doing is it's setting us up that everything is in cyberspace. And for you to be able to get to your money, to buy, sell, or trade, they're going to get to the point that they go, now, this is the deal. you're going to have to be connected to that system.
Yep.
And to be connected to that system, you either take this mark to be able to access it, or you can have the guillotine, but you got a choice.
That's right.
Why nothing will ever be planted on you or held down to put something in. It is your choice. And that's why when you make that choice, I mean, God doesn't send anybody to hell. It is your choice in not serving him or not doing what you're supposed to do. And Satan is so brilliant with this. I mean, when I started doing the research on all the science behind this, I'm like, this is brilliant.
Yep.
Bring people to the point of telling them they can live forever, you know, and nobody wants to die.
No.
And then that you can be brilliant without having to go to college. And you can learn to do stuff. And your mind can be like Alexa.
Amen.
And then tell you're going to take care of them. And there's no big problem. And this is the way humanity is going to just become gods. We're going to be all going to be connected. And it's all going to be this good, wonderful little thing. And so the other option, you can have your head cut off because you don't want to go along with where society and the world is headed.
That's right.
They see you as a person not going along with the system. And so things are being set up. Surveillance is everywhere. You can't run. You can't hide. I don't care if people have got food put up. If they've got gold and silver, you can't eat gold and silver.
It won't matter.
You have that mark, you got to use the mark. Right now, we've got the Amazon palm thing that you got to put your palm in to be able to read, to buy, whatever. And it's using your biometrical data. Once you get your biometrical data, it's like your phone number. And I can call you anywhere in the world using your phone number. So if they get your frequency,
they can
lock onto you anywhere you are.
Amen. So, boy, I hate wrapping this up because I just want to keep talking and us going back and forth. But, Joy, if somebody wants to get connected and buy your books, where can they go to be able to do that?
Well, the quickest way is to go to my website, which is www.drjoye.com. And then if they want to follow about where I'm on radio shows and podcasts or whatever, is to my Facebook page is public. And
okay.
So it's Joy, J-O-Y-E, Joy with an E, Q, P as in Paul, U-G-H. And if you just follow me there, I post whenever I'm going to be on a show. If it's pre-recorded or if it's live, I'll have the link set up and you can go back and pull those up and find them. And then if you have a question for me, you can go to my web page again. I've got a submission form. If you've got questions that you'd like for me to answer on the show that I do at the end of the month, I actually do it the last Monday night of every month from 8 to 10 on YouTube with Zen mm-hmm. Garcia's channel.
All right.
And I answer questions. So if you'd like to submit a question for me to answer on that, it's fine. But Messenger, you can send me things on Messenger if you have a specific need. But those are the easiest ways. I mean, there's a lot of other things that you can do, but I try to make it very simple through the website or through my Facebook page. It's the easiest way for you to get a hold of me and find out what I'm doing and my research and that kind of thing. So that's the easiest way.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope our listeners appreciate this. So I'm going to include all this in the show notes, guys. And in closing here, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode. This has been awesome, and not to say a real joy, but it has been a joy to have Dr. Joy on our show. And she's going to be back, by the way. We're going to bring her back. We're going to have some more discussion. We're going to get topic specific because I want to be able for us to be able to do that. But thank you for spending your time with us today and being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. If you enjoyed what you heard, we just kindly ask again, you hit that subscribe and follow button, give us a like, and that support helps us keep doing what we're doing and to grow. And obviously our ministry is growing and we want to continue to do so. On behalf of myself and Dr. Joy, this is T.S. Wright, and until next time, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.